I will lift my eyes to the hills and their creator, who made all heaven and earth. For he watches me, never sleeps, no, never slumbers. He's ever over me. As I come and I go, I am safe, for I know that his care is sufficient for me. Winter warmth and light, and a shady place in summer, he's ever over me. I will lift my eyes to the hills and their creator, who watches me, never sleeps, no, never slumbers. He's ever over me. As I come and I go, I am safe, for I know that his care is sufficient for me. Winter warmth and light, and a shady place in summer, he's ever over me. He's ever over me.
Those of you who are able, I invite you to kneel.
And so fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, we go through all different things and we study through different lesson books. And Lily is one of those students who's always there with her Bible, with good questions, willing to read. And she is just a very happy person. Have you ever seen Lily smile? And she is so excited today to be baptized and to publicly give her life to Jesus. Amen. And so here is a card that she has written what she wants me to say to you this morning. It says, I would like to thank all of my family, friends, and teachers for being here to support me. I would especially like to thank my mom, dad, sister, and Pastor Scott for helping me to make this decision. Also, I'd like to thank my Uncle Derek and Aunt Cindy, my cousins, and Oma for driving 11 hours from Utah to come support me. That's awesome. I am very excited to commit my life to Jesus and spend the rest of my life knowing and loving him. When I make a new friend, I like to spend time with them and get to know them so we can become better friends. In the same way, Jesus is my Father, Savior, and very good friend, and I would like to get to know him better. Amen? And I also have a card from Mom and Dad. And Mom and Dad, are you also going to say something up front too? No? Okay, I'm going to read the card for you. So this is from your parents, Lily. It says, we're so happy this day has come, and it's so exciting to think that all of heaven is celebrating this moment with us. Did you know the angels are singing right now? They're excited. We hope that you will always know how much we love you. Forever and always, one of our favorite verses in the Bible is found in Psalm 46:10, and it reads, be still and know that I am God. When you have good days and bad days, and in all of your days, only Jesus is a constant. Be still and know that he is with you always and forever. Amen. Is there a motion to accept Lily into membership of the English Oaks Adventist Church subject to her baptism? And a second? And all in favor, say welcome, Lily. All right, are you ready? Lily, because you love Jesus, because you have given your life to him and you want to live for him always, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congratulations. Jared Ng is coming in next, and his grandpa Shu, Pastor Shu, is going to baptize him. This is Helen's father, and Jared, go ahead and step on up here to the front. I have known you for a very long time as well, since you can probably remember, and spent a lot of time at the Ng's home. Hunter and Jared have been very good friends for a long time, so I know the road this boy has gone down. We've been on mission trips together and exciting adventures, and Jared, it's exciting to see you give your life to Jesus today. You've been in baptismal class for 4 years, and so he has studied, and I know he studies at home as well, and he's going off to a special Bible camp this summer down in Central California where they're going to study about the Bible and spend time outdoors, and it is great to see your commitment to Jesus, and it's been a privilege to watch you grow spiritually. And this is Jared's card. What he wants me to read for him. He says, I am being baptized because I wish to die to self. I have been in control for too long. It is time to let the Holy Spirit take control of my life. Thank you to the people who support my decision. I hope through this action I will draw closer to Jesus. Amen? And is there a motion to accept Jared into the fellowship of the English Oaks Adventist Church subject to his baptism? And a second? And all in favor, say welcome, Jared. And now Grandpa Shu will baptize you. Jared, because you love Jesus, because of your decision to follow him, it is Pastor Shu's privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. And we have one more baptism this morning. And all baptisms are special, but this one's extra special because this is my son. This is Hunter. And just graduated from the eighth grade and decided to give his life to Jesus on the same weekend. Amen? And Hunter's been part of my baptismal classes, not just because I'm his dad and I'm there, not just to get out of class, but because he's wanted to study and learn. And it has been fun to watch you grow spiritually, Hunter. I think my favorite times, our favorite spiritual discussions are whenever we go camping. Each evening around the campfire, before we go to bed, I ask each of my kids, where did you see God today? And what did you see him in? And I just love the responses Hunter gives about seeing God out in nature and wanting to commit his life to following him and to spending time with him regularly. So this is Hunter's card. He says, I have made the choice to be baptized today because I want to be closer to Christ, and I want God to be the center of my life. Thank you to everyone here today supporting me in my decision to follow God, and thank you to my parents, teachers, friends, and other influences in my life that have helped lead me to make this decision. Amen? Is there a motion to accept Hunter into the fellowship of the English Oaks Adventist Church subject to his baptism? And a second? And everyone in favor, say welcome, Hunter. It is. It's official. Are you ready? Hunter, because you love Jesus, because you have decided to give your life to him and live for him for the rest of your life, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congratulations. Love you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that the angels are singing right now and that you are rejoicing as well. I pray for a special blessing upon all three of these young people who have committed their lives to you. I pray for the promise of Acts 2:38 to be upon them, that they will feel the Spirit in a special way. And I just pray that the church family would continue to surround them, to lead them, and to be a blessing to them spiritually and in other ways. Lord, may their lives be a testimony to you, and may their baptisms today be an inspiration to those who are here. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are thinking about baptism, feel free to talk to one of the pastors here, Pastor Bob, Pastor Roy, or myself. We'd be very happy to study with you to help you understand what it means to commit yourself to Jesus and to die to the old self and rise again to new life. Thank you. God bless you.
Happy Sabbath. I'll be reading the scripture from Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my Lord, and I will write on him my new name.
Good morning. We had to do a last-minute microphone swap, so I'm talking to you from in back right now, but I will soon be to the front. What a blessed Sabbath it's been so far, hasn't it? Beautiful music, and the reason for which really we gather and our church body is the complete reason to bring people to Jesus and help people grow in Jesus. And what a blessing to see Jared and Hunter and Lily give their lives to Jesus and testify to it before us. All right, see, I really am here. It's not a recorder. This would be an appropriate time to do it. Oh, till Jared's here. You want Jared to actually be here when you say something to him. Okay, we have some loving parents who want to give a message to their son, so I'll bring the microphone up here, and we'll be ready for that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence with us today. We thank you for the joy that we've been able to have, knowing that all heaven is rejoicing with us as these young men and Lily give their lives to Jesus and testify before us and before the universe whose side they're on and their faith in you and your love and acceptance of them. Father, now as we come to your word, we count on the promise of your Spirit to speak to us through your word, not just to fill our minds, Father, but to change our lives and to transform us to be more like Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen. All right, we're picking back up with our series on the seven churches of Revelation. Overcomers. Messages that Jesus loved his people enough to help them in the situations in which they were there at that time in history during the time of the Roman Empire. And then, as we see the prophetic significance of the seven churches in parallel with the seven trumpets, the seven seals, etc., in the book of Revelation, at the different times in church history and the different challenges that faced God's people as they strove with all their might to stay faithful to him, and sometimes as they have slacked off under the pressure, under the tedium, under whatever it was that tended to distract them from following Jesus with their whole heart and loving him with all that they had. And so we have seen in our series so far, overcomers' love. You may remember the church that he said, you have lost your first love. We have learned that overcomers endure come what may. We have learned that overcomers repent when they find that they have gone astray from following God with their whole heart. We have learned that overcomers hold on no matter what is happening. We have learned that overcomers come to God and re-energize when their energy, when their strength has become weak. And today, we will focus on the fact that overcomers persevere. Overcomers hang in there, they hold on, they endure, they persevere, come what may. Now, just by way of review, we'll look again at the seven churches that are the ones that Jesus is speaking to in these messages. And they were actually seven literal churches in Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey. And as we've looked at in the past, the Isle of Patmos, where John was writing from, actually taking down... This is, by the way, a very unique place in the Bible, because a lot of people think that the Bible was dictated. In fact, the Bible was not dictated. But this section was. These messages were dictated to John on the island of Patmos. Can anyone tell me another place where we have word for word what God said to be conveyed? There's not very many in the Bible. Of course, all of the red letters in the Gospels. Got that. Daniel? Let me see. I'm trying to think. There's one place I know for sure. It was written with his own finger. You remember that? The Ten Commandments were written with his own finger. Otherwise, God inspired the people who wrote the books of the Bible with the thoughts that he wanted to convey, and they wrote them in their human words, giving the thoughts that God shared with them. But here, in these messages, can you imagine what it would have been like to be in church and to know that you were reading a message that you were having read to you, because that's the way it was, the reader would be up front, and the people would be listening, and you would know that John, whom you probably knew personally, you'd probably encountered him in some way personally, had received a message in an encounter with Jesus, with the risen Christ, who appeared to him in his time of exile there on the island of Patmos, and had dictated to him words especially for you and your friends gathered in church that Sabbath morning. Wouldn't that be amazing if we had such a thing that said to the believers in English Oaks, write, and I could tell you this is what Jesus said specifically to this church. Well, that would be awesome, but I tell you what, this is good enough for me to have this book with messages that pertain to us at all the different times that people have been following God throughout history, and that all pertain to us and tell us, and I find that it speaks so true what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, that the Word of God is living and active, and it touches me right where I am, right in the needs, right in the situation where I find myself. And so, these different churches there at that time in Asia Minor, in their time, in their place, God sent them messages, and from the Isle of Patmos, they were taken probably by messenger, and the road went like this, and that is the order of the different churches as they lay out geographically along the road there in Asia Minor, or present-day Turkey. So we have come to the church of Philadelphia, and you can turn in Revelation chapter 3 and follow along and find that message there yourself. The Church of Philadelphia. Now, of all of the churches, I've had to do, you know, research to find out about Smyrna, to find out about Ephesus, to find out about Thyatira. But Philadelphia, I've been there. How many of you have been to Philadelphia? I've been there. I've seen the Liberty Bell. I've seen Independence Hall. Isn't that awesome? All these foreign churches way over in Asia Minor, not only in another place, but in another time, because the communities, many of them, are in rubble. But this is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Well, now let me stop and think about that, by the way, because isn't it remarkable that, or fitting anyway, that on Memorial Day weekend, we're talking about the Church of Philadelphia. The church that represents, or rather the city that probably as much as any in our country represents the freedoms that we enjoy here today, that represents the commitments that have preserved and perpetuated the freedoms that we enjoy here today. The city where these words were written down at the close of the Declaration of Independence and have been carried forth not only by the signatories to the Declaration of Independence, but by people down through the history of this nation to preserve the freedoms that were established there. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And ever since then, people have been sacrificing their lives in public service and in military service, putting their lives on the line in the name of you, in the name of me. And in so many, in the words of Abraham Lincoln, have given the last full measure of devotion so that we could live out these freedoms that we enjoy. And I am so thankful, and as I think about that today, oftentimes on Memorial Day weekend, we think about the families who've lost loved ones in the military service of our country. And I do want to stop and pause and think and thank each of the families that are here represented who have lost loved ones in the service of our country. I want to say thank you. I want to say we remember and we honor the sacrifices that you have made. My older son, Tommy, who served in Afghanistan and in Iraq, posted a video. I'm not going to share it with you just now, but it reminded me of something else that we need to think about and acknowledge on this weekend as we think about Memorial Day. There was a video that focused on the soldiers who have lost their buddies. Buddies that they have bonded with probably as much as many families, maybe even most families, are bonded. Bonded tightly. My son lists, I think, three buddies that were taken from him. And so I want to acknowledge any of you veterans here today who think and carry in your heart buddies, people who were with you in service, who you lost while you were in service. And we want to say thank you. We want to say we honor their memory along with you and thank God for the sacrifices that they made for us. And so in that literal, or not literal, but in that American city of Philadelphia, we think of this birth of freedom that's been a beacon to the world, that's been an example to the world, that we struggle to protect, that we struggle to persevere, to hang in there and keep these freedoms going, to do our part. But now I want to go back to the ancient city of Philadelphia. The ancient city of Philadelphia, again, there in Asia Minor, in present-day Turkey, was a city that was founded by a king of the territory. It was called Pergamum, the whole territory. You may remember that one of our seven churches is called Pergamum or Pergamos. But this king had a brother who was devoted to him, who would do anything for him, who was one of his generals in his cause, in his establishment of his kingdom. And so in honor of his brother, who pledged his love for him, he named this town Philadelphia. And the only thing that we have left of the Roman-era Philadelphia, as I understand, is this theater that remains there in ruins in that territory. But let's get right into the message to the church at Philadelphia, this beloved churches. As we've seen in our past messages, the messages to the seven churches have common elements in which Jesus addresses his people, bringing himself to show who he is and to show how he is the one who can not only give them a message of what needs to happen among them and for them, but also is the key to it happening. And so they start out with the message of who Jesus is. And then Jesus tells them what he knows about them, their condition, about their strengths, about their challenges. And then based on that, he gives them a call that he tells them, a decision to make, a commitment to make. And then he tells them, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then he tells them a promise for those who overcome, for those who take his counsel, trust in him, and go forward in what he's called them to do. And so now let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, and we will start in verse 7. You can turn right there and look, Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 7. And it starts with a message about who Jesus is. And so he says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." Just absorb for a second. Like the old hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. Look at Jesus as he presents himself to this church that he's later going to identify as having little strength. He says, these things says he who is holy. There's no one like Jesus. He is holy. Every good thing that you can think of is in Jesus. Every bad thing, there's not a bit of it in him. He is holy. He is true. Everything he says, you can count on. Everything he says, you know, is sincere. Nothing for manipulation, nothing to try and coerce you. Everything that he says, you know, is factual and true. And then it says, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. And I want to tell you, for this group of people in Philadelphia, this group of believers, this was so meaningful. He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. By the way, this is almost a direct quote from the Old Testament. You can look it up, and I would recommend when you look it up, read the verses around and actually use your concordance or your computer Bible search function to find out about this. In Isaiah 22, verse 22, in the time of the king Hezekiah, when the Assyrians were coming against Judah, there was this guy named Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was faithful in his service to God's people and faithful in his service to God. And Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says to Eliakim these very words. He says, I will give you the key of David. What you open, no one shuts, and what you shut, no one opens. What do you think this is a statement of? This is a statement of authority. Because, I mean, when you have an office, when you are given a responsibility and an authority, you usually get a key that goes with it, right? Yeah, this is an authority. And look at how final this is. This is Jesus. Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, how could this room stay silent when we say that? This is Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you have any hallelujahs in you? Yes, this is Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he makes you a promise, you can take it to the bank. When he says something, it is the ultimate and final word on the matter. Oh, I love that. Ever, Satan ever come to you and whisper to you that you are unworthy, that you could never be forgiven? Guess what? Jesus says you can. In fact, the same apostle who wrote this down for Jesus wrote down for Jesus, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's Jesus. So when Satan whispers, you say, no, my Lord is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says, I am clean, so I am clean. I can take that to the bank. Satan comes and whispers to you, oh, you've had this habit for years. You're always going to have this habit. You're always going to mess up and fail God in so many ways. You're a slave. What does Jesus say? Jesus, the one who is holy, true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens, he says, you are my child. I am your example. I give you power to overcome. He says, when you're tempted, you can submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and the devil will run away. Because Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Yes, he is. And so he has the authority, everything that he says. Now he goes on to talk about the church's condition. And he says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. And who can shut it? No one can shut it. Isn't that good news? When Jesus opens the way for you, no one can do anything about it except you. But if you choose him and choose to trust him, the one who's holy, true, who has the key of David, he opens a door before you. No one else can shut it. This is such good news to the people of Philadelphia and such good news to us today. He says, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Let me tell you about the town of Philadelphia. It was a town, like many of the others that we've looked at, that was a center of the worship of the emperor. People were required to make sacrifices on an altar to the emperor. And it was a center, and it was known and favored by the emperors because it was a center of that. It was a center of the worship of false gods. And all the people worshiped all these false gods. And so, whether the people of either the time period of Philadelphia or of the local church of Philadelphia were under direct persecution in terms of getting thrown into prison, which they probably were, or not, they were always under pressure to let go of Jesus in favor of the emperor, in favor of the false gods. And if that wasn't enough, look what happens next. Also is happening there. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. He's talking to a group of people who are feeling weak, who are feeling pushed in the general world of the town of Philadelphia. They're under pressure to forsake Jesus and worship the emperor. They're under pressure to forsake Jesus and to worship all these other pagan gods. And they're under pressure from the people who are the most like them because they serve the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth. They serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob just like they do. But they too join in with the pagans and they join in with the emperor worshipers and they say, you gotta let go of this Jesus. This Jesus is not who you think he is. This Jesus is not who you say he is. You say he's God come here to save you? No, he's not. He's a false prophet. He's a false Messiah. They're telling him, forsake Jesus. Forsake Jesus. One group, one demographic says, we know all of these gods that we have served here in Philadelphia since ancient times. Forsake your Jesus. He's not who you say he is. And then you come to another group that says, you would put this Jesus in the place of the emperor and say you can't worship both Jesus and the emperor? Forsake your Jesus. He is not who you think he is. He can't save you. You got to look to the Roman Empire and the emperor to save you. And then you have this other group that says, we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that you say you were serving. He didn't send this Jesus that you're talking about, that you put your faith in. He was a false prophet. Forsake your Jesus. Do you get the message? And so Jesus comes to them and he commends them for staying true to his name, even though they are feeling weak, even though they are feeling pressed. What presses on your commitment to Jesus? In next Sabbath's message, we are going to be focusing on the message to Laodicea, the final message of the seven churches. And we'll focus a lot on how just the pressures and the enjoyment of life presses on your faithfulness to Jesus. But what external pressures come at your faith in Jesus? Sometimes it's in your own family. Sometimes it's at work. Sometimes it's just the general culture that more and more today is saying Jesus is not who you say he is. Jesus is not who you think he is. Sometimes it's just the subtle pressure, just flipping on the Discover Channel or the Learning Channel, and presentations about the Bible that talk about all these historical things and show wonderful archaeological things. But the basic message is, yeah, there was a Jesus, but he's not who you say he is. He's not who you think he is. He's not the creator. We know how we got here. All of these pressures that come and say to us, Jesus isn't who you say he is. Jesus isn't who you think he is. But what does Jesus say? Thank you for hanging on despite the pressures. Thank you for staying true to my name despite the pressures. And under those pressures, hang in there. Persevere. Don't let anyone make you back down from your faith in Jesus. Don't let anyone make you back down from acknowledging him for who he is. He says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Do you see what Jesus is promising? He says he's going to be for you, before you, before you, no matter what pressures come against you, to forsake him as you stay trusting in him, as you stay looking to him. He will be for you. He will back you up, and he will protect you and watch over you in all of the trials, in all of the things that will come. And then he says, here's the call. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have. That's another word for persevere. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Amen. Do you get the picture here? So, other ones talk about the crown of life. And so you see the Christian here with the crown that Jesus has placed on their head. The crown that Jesus has in store for them. And different pressures coming from different sides saying, this Jesus you trust in, this Jesus, he's not, you shouldn't keep having your Jesus. You can't have your Jesus. That's what he's talking about. Don't let anyone take your Jesus from you. Don't let anyone take your crown. Don't anyone let you take your faith away from you in Jesus. And he says, behold, I am coming quickly. Do you see the signs around you? I see the signs everywhere. I see the signs in the troubles in the world. I see the signs happening in nature. And I see the signs happening in the political and the religious worlds. If you pay attention, you'll see that everything that's been prophesied, the forces, the entities, are all in place. It's only a matter of when it is. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Praise the Lord. That is my commitment. What about you? Will you persevere? No matter what anyone says. Will you persevere in your faith in Jesus, no matter what anyone promises you? No matter what your deceitful heart might want and pressure from within to forsake your Jesus in favor of something else or someone else. Persevere. Hang in there. Hold fast what you have. Hold fast who you have, that no one may take your crown. Because overcomers persevere. And by the way, the word that's persevere here, translated persevere here, is the same one that's been translated endure. Same one that's been translated, it means to have one thing on your mind that you hang on to. One thing on your mind, and that is Jesus and your faithfulness and trust in him. In Hebrews chapter 12, I think it spells it out so well, what Jesus is calling us to. Paul saying it to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. It's one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then it goes on to say, for consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, lest you grow weary and lose heart. What's the message? Persevere. Keep looking to Jesus, because you know what the funny thing this is saying? Is in the middle of his worst trial, in the middle of his most excruciating experience in his time on earth, Jesus was looking to you Do you see that? Because you're the joy that was set before him. The privilege of having you forever with him in his kingdom, in a place ruled only by love, with none of these other pressures, none of these other forces having any sway at all. That's what he had before him. He says, look to him the same way that he was looking to you. He wants you. May you want him even so. And he endured. You see that word? He persevered through the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In light of this, now look at the promise to the overcomer. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Now, in this instance, what is overcoming? Overcoming is persevering. He who perseveres, he who stands, he, she, who stands their ground in the face of all the pressure to give up your Jesus, he, she, who hangs in there, no matter what anyone tells you about how stupid your religion is or how a figment of your imagination this Jesus and his soon coming is to you, he who perseveres, who hangs in there no matter what, he says, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Pillars are built to be what? Strong. Pillars are built to stand their ground and hold up everything that depends on them, right? He says, I will make you a pillar. And look at this. This is really cool because right now he's basically asking them to be a pillar in the community where they live with all the pressures trying to pull them from Jesus. He says, in the future, when he comes, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. Will there be any pressures trying to pull you away from that fellowship with Jesus? In the temple of our God in heaven? No, there won't. No, there won't. You will get to stand your ground with nothing pulling, scraping, clawing at you, trying to pull you away from Jesus. You will get to stand your ground in the presence of the one that you love, who's holy, true, and has the key of David, and all of those things. And he shall go out no more. It reminds me of the psalm that says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than have 1,000 days elsewhere. And then he says, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. You see this? It's being able to hang in there. It's being able to stand, to be in his presence, and to be completely identified with him. That made me think, this overcomer's promise made me think of that tomb over there in Arlington Cemetery in Virginia. Some of you have been there. I haven't actually been there yet myself. But this tomb, the tomb of the unknowns, the tomb of people who gave their lives in service of our country but are nameless. On the tomb, it says, here rests in honored glory. And then look at the name. Look at the name. Someone who persevered. Someone who persevered through what they were enduring for our country, for our freedom. They endured, they persevered, they hung in there no matter what was coming in at them, no matter what the pressures were, no matter what the peril to their life, and gave the last full measure of devotion rather than to back down, rather than to give up. Unnamed. And now they have on them the name of our country as their name. Do you see that? Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God. And there, by our country, because they persevered in the name of our country, they rest there with the name of our country on them, with all that that stands for. But I have super good news for you. Jesus is promising that you, persevering, you hanging in there, aren't going to be in some box in the New Jerusalem. not in some crypt in the New Jerusalem. You will be living in the New Jerusalem, in the presence of God, with His name upon you, with the name of that new citizenship upon you, as a person of that place that is ruled no longer by love and contests and egos and these things, but ruled only by love. You will be in that place with His name on you and the name of His love on you, with the name of His country, with the name of His whole civilization upon you as one of His. So do you think it's worth it to persevere? It is worth it to persevere. It's worth it more than you can ever imagine. You know, the scriptures say that eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has come into the heart of man what great things God has prepared for those who love Him. No matter what they offer you, don't accept it, because Jesus is greater. No matter what they threaten you with, don't back down, because Jesus has your back. No matter what your own heart says, do not let go of Jesus. Keep your trust in Him. There's two things that people don't like about our faith in Jesus. Two things that they try and take away from us, just like Satan we were talking about. The kingdom of Satan does not want you to know that you were forgiven and accepted through Jesus. And tries to take that from you. Christian brothers and sisters sometimes jump into that role and say, I see you coming to church, but I know what you're really like. And they want to take away what Jesus has said is yours. They want to open a door that Jesus has shut. Right? Can they? No, because He has the key of David. You hang in there. And when someone says, based on what I see, I don't think that you really are accepted by Jesus, you look to Jesus. And you don't have to say it in their face. If He moves you to testify to them so that they too can have that kind of faith, then do it. But certainly in your heart, and if need be with your mouth, say, no, I am His. He has accepted me. You're right about what I've done. But He has accepted and forgiven me. And then, of course, the other side of that coin is that as you then seek to live according to the ways of Jesus, under His lordship, well, there's forces that are going to come against you on that. As you try and be faithful in the big things and the little things, and people say, they'll call you a legalist, or they'll say, how come you won't do what I do? You're just boring, you're no fun, or something like that. And you say, no, I am His. And I find my joy in following Him and doing. You should try it, because you'd be amazed at what you think is so hard and so awful is actually so joyous and so beautiful, because it's in the love of Jesus. Try and take away your assurance. Try and take away your commitment to live for Him. No matter what it is, persevere. Hang in there. There's so much good and beautiful in store for you, not only in the future, but now with Jesus in your life. Would you please join me in making your commitment this morning to persevere? Would you please listen? Open your ears. Accept what the Spirit says to you today. And with me, would you please say, Lord Jesus, in the face of whatever pressures, in the face of whatever anyone may say, I am yours, you are mine, and that's the way it will always be until you come. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us, for sending Jesus, for sending us the words that we need right here in the Scripture. To help us face no matter what may come, no matter what our hearts tell us, no matter what other people who claim your name tell us, no matter what people of the world who don't know you or trust you tell us, let us persevere in our faith and in our trust in you. Let us persevere in keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, trusting you for the forgiveness of our sins, trusting you for the promise of the hope that we have in heaven, trusting in you for the resurrection, trusting in you for the power that we need to live for you here and now, shining the light for others to see you and believe as well. Thank you so much that we have all this through the matchless, wonderful name of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus. Amen.